Well, tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5. Pretty awesome, awesome chapter. You know, James has been a tremendous book of exhortation for the body of Christ. As I've studied it, it's been a wonderful book for me. And as I was going to study chapter 5, I was pretty amazed at James and the things that he's going to be speaking to us tonight about. He's going to be speaking about money. He's going to be speaking to the rich. And that is those people in his time, and it could be at this time also, they were oppressing the poor. The way they got their money, by cheating and taking it from the poor and doing all kinds of weird things to oppress people. And James, pretty interesting character. You know, he's the brother of Jesus. And he got saved when Jesus started his ministry. So when Jesus got to go up to the cross and be crucified, James probably had been a Christian about 3 years. And he became the first martyr in the early church, which was pretty amazing when you read that. But there are several miscellaneous matters here in the last chapter of James. And it's interesting as you're studying this book of James, because in the last chapter of James, he really brings in and he zeroes in on the second coming of Christ. The early church really believed that Jesus was going to come in their time, but he didn't come. And it's always been kind of a thing where a lot of people say, well, since my grandparents' times, they've been saying the Lord's coming, but he hasn't really come. And yet when you study eschatology or prophecy, you begin to see that we are truly living in a time where Jesus Christ is coming again very soon. And the reason we know that is because of the nation of Israel. They're the key. When they went back into Israel, and you know, as a nation, had been out of the country for 2,000 years. They came back to Palestine in 1948. And it's pretty amazing when you study and you read and you see what God says in His Word. So we must be ready when the Lord comes. And then at the same time, James is going to be speaking to Christians about being honest in business. Being honest in business. Not cheating people. Not cheating in your income tax. You know, but really coming out, if God has blessed you, then you need to be blessing other people. But then at the same time, there was a major problem in the church. And that was the problem with the wicked. They were rich. Those men and women, they had a lot of money, but they were very wicked. And they made their money by cheating other people, which is interesting. I think of all the companies today that literally make their millions by overcharging or cheating some person out of their monies. I surely would not want to be in anybody's shoes that cheats people. Especially if you're a pastor or if you're a businessman. You know, taking somebody else's money where they could barely give to the church. I think of all these people on television that are constantly begging and hitting up the widows for money. And they write these letters that are horrible letters, I think, begging for funds when they don't really believe that where God leads, God provides. You know, we don't have to beg for anything. It's so beautiful because, you know, whenever you take an offering, you know, people say we're going to take an offering. We don't take offerings. We receive offerings from the Lord. We don't take anything from anybody. And yet there are people that love taking from people, especially the weak and the downcast and the ones that are barely making it in life. And so here James is going to be warning and is going to be calling people to repentance. For those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because to every Christian, There is a challenge about our own stewardship and the gifts that God has given to each one of us. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, but also the way we receive our income. What do we do with all of our income that is given to us? How do we spend it, or how do we misspend it? Not recognizing that one day, you and I, and everybody in this world, are going to have to stand before God and literally give an account of their finances. The Bible in the New Testament has so much to say about money. A lot. A lot it says it. And it's interesting because God has made you and God has made me stewards of God's money. It's not really mine, it's His. He's given it to you. He's made you a steward, a house manager. How are you going to invest it? There's a parable in the New Testament in the book of Matthew 25 where there are three men, and the owner comes to the three men and says, look, I'm going to give you one talent, and I'm going to give you one talent. Now, I want you to go out in my absence, and I want you to invest it. And when I come back, I want to receive interest in what I've given to you. Well, that actual manager is the Lord in Matthew 25. And he left, and he's coming again. And when he came back, the three men came, and the first one came and said, Lord, you're not going to believe this. I took the talents you gave me, and I invested it, and I made five talents. Here it is. He said, faithful servant, come into the kingdom of God. And then he said, you gave me, and I made two. Come into the kingdom of God, faithful steward. And the third one came and said, Lord, I was so afraid and I didn't know what to do with it. So I took it and I hid it on the ground. And I just didn't want to do anything with it. But now I'm going to dig it out and I'm going to give it back to you. And the Bible says that when that guy came back with that one talent that he gave to the Lord took it and gave it to the one that had the five. And he took this steward and had him cast out into utter darkness. It's pretty heavy when you read what Jesus says in the scriptures. Why? Because there are employers that steal from their employees. And there are employees that steal from their employers. Think about that for a moment. Everything costs money. You know, paper towels, toilet paper, books, pencils, pens, whatever equipment is in the building, it all took money to buy that. Somebody invested for that. And yet, there are people that take the liberty to help themselves. And then on the other side also, think of this, people that go to work, and they're supposed to work 8 hours a day, have an hour lunch or 30-minute lunch, and think of all the breaks they take before they really put in their 8 hours. And they get paid for 40 hours when maybe they worked only 20 hours. Or they cheat on their cards. I don't know if they cheat or not, but there are people that do that. It's sad. And people do not realize that one day you're going to have to stand before God and give an account of your checkbook and your bank account and your giving to the Lord and all of your investments that you're hoping to receive at retirement. And by the way, when you receive it, who's going to spend it if you die? They'll either spend it or misspend it for you. That's why the Bible is so clear about money, what we're supposed to do with it. The Bible tells us that the love of money is still all a root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil, but the love of money. The love of money brings you to a lot of temptations. Think why people work so hard and so many long hours to get the nice car, to get the nice house, to get the nice vacation. To get all these things that we really don't need, but we want. Nothing wrong with having them if you can afford them. But the problem comes is when you can't afford them and you're striving for them and you're coveting your neighbor what he has or what she has. And you want the same, but you can't afford it. So you sacrifice your children so you can get a job to have what you want. Think about how many people do that. James is really, really strict concerning this whole thing on the abuse of wealth. How there are millionaires and billionaires that have so much money and yet they use it upon themselves and they're not really a giving person. It's sad to say, but the poor are always giving what they have. This is why TV evangelists take advantage of the widows when they write their letters and take advantage of them when they send their income into them. They're barely making it and they're sending in because they believe that, you know, these guys are true. And a lot of them are not true. They're phonies. They fleece the flock of God. Peter has a lot to say about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. And so I think it's really important that we get what James is trying to say to each one of us in here, because James says that a lot of these rich people that are not really Christian, and if they are Christian and they're wicked, they bring oppression to the people of God. And they were doing that in the early church. They were oppressing the poor tremendously and fully. Look how he begins his letter, which is really an amazing thing when you think of everything that James has been writing to each one of us individually. Beginning with chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. He says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you." Now remember, we talked last week about those that are not really ready for the coming of the Lord. Now here James is going to be speaking to us how it is not sinful to have wealth, but it is sinful to be a bad steward of what God has given to you in misusing it and misspending it. That is a sin before God. And it's something interesting that as I was going over the lesson and reading over, there are so many scriptures that it brings out concerning these people that are here. And yet James, in this new emphasis here, he begins with the same words that he had in chapter 4:13, "Come now." And there he spoke of the presumptuous person concerning the coming of the Lord, and now he's going to actually come and say, now I want to take the time to talk to those that have a big bank account, but you are not righteous, but you're wicked before God in what you do and how you use it and how you misspend it. And he has so much to say in this chapter. And yet, I think it's really important that when he says here now, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you," I think he's talking to us about the last days too. Look what's happening to the economy right now. The book of Revelation says that one day in the tribulation period, people are going to be paying $30 for a loaf of bread. $30 for a loaf of bread. And yet we know that we're living in a time where God is not only speaking loud and clear to the world, not just America, but to the world. And yet the wealthy people were oppressing the poor and misusing whatever they had taken from the poor so they could enrich themselves and say, "I'm a very wealthy person." And yet they would never share with anybody else. Very selfish. Very selfish. To me, it's a real blessing to know people that are very wealthy and are very giving people. I love what God does. I don't believe in asking for anything. I believe that you got to pray. And yet God has been so good to Calvary Chapel, to us. He's been so good to us. And I think of all the miracles and wonders God has done and the way people every week, you know, give to the Lord, so that we can pay for the lights and pay for everything that we're doing, crusades, radio, everything that is so awesome, where we don't have to sit there and get on the radio or get on television and start crying and weeping and saying, you know, we need your help. God needs your help. God doesn't need our help. We need God's help. That's the real story. And when I began to read the scripture, Where James now is saying, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. He's talking about the coming of the Lord and how many of these rich people are going to lose their wealth. Remember what happened in the back at the early century when the economy went down the tubes and there was bankruptcies and people were jumping out of buildings when they lost all their riches. Could it happen again? Oh, it could happen again. You can't count on the stock market, on your retirement. You really have to trust in the Lord. And the reason God gives us what He gives to us is so that we can really manage in good stewardship what He's given to us so that we can make it stretch and we can help others. It is more blessed to give than to receive, the Bible says. And there's a story in the book of Luke's Gospel where there was a rich young ruler that had become very wealthy, and he had this barn that was packed. He was totally packed out, and I mean, God had blessed him, you know, and he said, man, you know what? I'm going to build another barn and fill that barn. And he was planning on next day, next week, next month to even make more millions of dollars. And the Lord came to him that night and said, you fool, tonight you're going to die. I'm requiring your soul. And when you die, what does He require? Stewardship. Accountability. He's going to judge. You're going to stand before God and give an account to Him. It's really important that we understand that money is to be used for good. For what? For the poor, for the church, for the lost, for family, for missions, where there are real needs. We give to the Lord. And by the way, nobody has to know how much you give. Only the government. Only the government. You don't have to tell anybody how much you give. I don't even know who gives. If I did, I'd be going, look, they're stingy, you know, stingy over there. I'm glad I don't know. But it's cool. Because it's so biblical. Hear what James is declaring here, that this is really the only place in the New Testament, in the Bible here, where he uses the word to hell. It's not used in the New Testament, but he uses it here in the book of James. It means to shriek. It means uncontrollable grief. He's telling the rich person, you're going to go through a time that is going to be a time like no other time where you're going to be grieving. You're going to be howling because of what's going to happen to your money. Imagine that. And we've heard of so many millionaires in the world today. And yet, what about those people that do not have? You know, there's a lot of street people. Yeah, some of them are there by their own choice, but there's a lot of them that really can't make it. And they really need help. I think that's really something that we need not only to pray about individually, but the Bible is so full of scriptures concerning the wicked rich that oppress the poor constantly and always. When he uses that word miseries here, he's actually speaking of overwhelming trouble. Overwhelming trouble. Can you imagine what it would be like to keep up with your millions and millions of dollars and you want to make more millions and to keep, you know, an eye on every account or your stocks? It could drive you crazy as you see the stock market going up and down. But it's so cool when you do have it and you trust the Lord. And you have peace with God. Because who gave it to you? The Lord. And who can take it away? The Lord. That's what's so cool about God. He gives it and takes it away. You can't put your trust in it. You can't depend on it. And it's funny because he's going to tell us in a moment that these people put their trust in silver bars and gold bars, and yet the Bible tells us not to put your trust in gold. Don't put your trust in gold and silver. You need to put your trust in the Lord fully and completely. We need to be wise with our monies. making sure that we're investing into God's kingdom more than anything else. Why? Because that's the only true investment you're going to get back. A lot of investments are going to be being made in the kingdom of God, and you're going to get a lot of profit back when you stand before God. Investing in eternity. That's the best bank to invest. It's so awesome how God has given us His Word. And the way He speaks to us concerning all these things that we are to do. Check this out, verse 2 and 3. The corrosion of wealth, He says, here's now the reason for such impending doom stated in verse 1. Look, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Notice what He says here. Here, the word corrupted means putrefied sore, like a putrefied sore, a sore on an arm that is really deadly, it's really bad, bleeding. He's talking about the riches here. And it's amazing because today, I mean, think of all of the acquirement that, you know, all of the toys and things that people have, you know, where there are people that can't even afford to pay the rent or to feed their children. We've been blessed in America. We've been blessed. We are the most blessed country in the whole world. That's why people from other countries come here, and they can come here and start a business because it's a land of opportunity, and they were poor in their land, and they can become millionaires here. Anybody can do that. It's the United States of America, the land of the free, the land of great opportunity. And yet it's really important that we understand that here James is talking about their riches, the things they possess, bank accounts and whatever they had in the early church, you know, in their own personal homes. Yet it's really important because here they were putting their trust in wheat and corn and grain. And they would take it and make barns and put it inside, and they could feed a whole town, but they would not give to anybody. These people here, they would not share with anybody. Even if it's spoiled, they would rather it be rotten and throw it away than to give it to somebody else. Because there are people that can help in a tremendous way. Think about that. $1 million is nothing. 5 million, nothing. 10, 20 million. And then to other people, $100, $1,000, or $100,000. Depending on how God's blessed you. And yet, these people, they were just like people today that we watch sometimes that are constantly sending letters and they're begging for funds. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to tell you something. I was in a TV program one day, and there was an evangelist there, and a letter came from somebody that watched him on TV. And he opened the envelope, and there was a huge diamond ring. Huge diamond ring. And he put it on his finger in the back room. He was talking to us. He says, look what God gave me now. And I reminded him. I said, hey, listen. If God gave it to you, He gave it to the ministry, not for you to wear. And I never got invited again, but that's all right. I don't really care. Because you know what, you can't play with God. And I think of all the people that take advantage of people. You know, people that can't read. This big marketing, this Hispanic marketing, you know. A lot of the Hispanic wealthy guys, they take advantage of the actual Hispanic poor, buying houses, selling houses, buying cars. You know, I mean, they get them on interest. Man, shame on them. Shame on them. For doing that. Or anybody, Asian, whoever you are. You should not do that. Or cheating the government in your taxes. Your Bible says pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And you give to God what belongs to God. That's what the Bible says. And it's really important to me that we as a body of Christ and Christians, that we are honest with men and with God. Because if God truly blessed these people in the early church, and He did, And they were oppressing the poor, and they were taking houses from them, and they would not feed them or do anything, but just abhor more for themselves. This is what James is down on. I mean, he's really upset about this. He says, even all those riches you have are going to become corrupted. And your garments are moth-eaten. Why? Because they buy the best. They buy, you know, $200 shirts. They buy $500 Levi's. I mean, I can't even think. I mean, you can buy a pair of Levi's for $39, man. It's, you know, why pay $500? You want holes? Just put holes on it yourself. You want to put a little stink? Get some bleach, you know, whatever. You make your own style. But it's amazing how people consume. And they don't even think of money, you know, that there are people that can't even afford anything in their lives. And yet, they go to the best restaurants, they buy the best clothes, buy the best everything. And yet, God says, man, you know what? There's a day coming. Check this out, what he says, verse 3. He says, your gold and your silver are corroded. And their corrosion will be a witness against you. Wow. And will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days. Notice what he's saying. Remember in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 19, where Jesus is talking about Lazarus, the poor man, that's weak and sick, and then there's this millionaire that is putting parties together all the time in his neighborhood and inviting everybody to come. And it just happened that this poor beggar was walking down the street, and one night there was a big party going on, and he came to the actual mansion. And in that culture, they didn't have tables with, you know, they had actual recliners where you sit on pillows and you actually recline on the table, low tables to the ground. No forks, no spoons, no napkins. What they did is they had pita bread. And so as they would indulge themselves with food and all that, they would clean their hands and their mouth with pita bread, and then they throw it out to the dogs that came by the street. And this rich man had this whole party going on, and the poor beggar was outside of the gate, and they never once paid attention to him. Full of sores, sick, tired. Reaching through the gate, grabbing the crumbs that were falling from the table to feed himself. And the Bible tells us that that very night he died outside of this mansion. And then it says, you know, the actual people that cleaned the streets, they would come by, and when they saw a body, they would pick it up, wrap it up, take it down to the city dump, and actually dump it in the fire, in the trash, and burn it, cremate it. And then that very night, the Bible says that that rich man went up as he dismissed everybody from their house, and he went up to his room. And that very night when he laid his head on his pillow, the Lord came and the angel of death came, and he died. And he took him. He took him to hell, where the rich man not only went, but also the poor man was there. Because before Christ came and died and rose again, everybody went to hell. Two compartments, Abraham's bosom, a gulf separating it, and then on the other side, torment for those that were tormented. And when this rich man got to hell, he looked up and he saw Lazarus, which he didn't even know his name, at his gate. Never met him. Never met Abraham for 2,000 years. And he said, in Abraham's bosom, he said, Father Abraham, do you think it would be possible for Lazarus to come to this side and dip his finger in water and dip it in my tongue, for I am burning in this flame? Which means he was alive. He died in his body, but his spirit went on to live, which it had all five senses, the Bible says. He could think, he could remember, he could smell, he could taste, he could touch. And Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you had everything in life, and this poor beggar had nothing, nothing. And now he's being comforted, and you are being tormented. And that's when he spoke up and said, listen, I have a big family. I have five brothers at home. Do you think it would be possible for my five brothers to get the gospel? If somebody can go back from the dead and tell them about this place of torment, lest they come here too. And Abraham said, son, even if somebody would go back from the dead, they still would not believe. And think how Jesus Christ 1900 years ago came, died, rose again, sits at the right hand of the Father, and people still today do not believe in Jesus Christ. So there is a place called hell. Because when Christ died on the cross and resurrected, he descended down and let captivity free, and hell became one massive place in the center of the earth. That's where every wicked person is today waiting for the white throne judgment. Imagine that. And yet people don't believe it. Especially the wicked, wealthy people. They think they're getting away with it. They think they're getting away with oppressing the poor people. They think they're smart by hiding their money. They think they're smart by cheating on the government. And they're not. Because there is a day of reckoning. There is a day of accounting. God will judge. And they're going to have to give an account of all their misspenture. Everything they misspend money, wisely or foolishly, they're going to have to give an answer to God. And so this is why James here is speaking of the wealth of this world. How people have a lot, but they don't share it. And they don't even give to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Imagine that. I believe with all my heart that every church member in every church in America and the world, if they would give, if everybody would obey God and give what God says, you know, according to how God blesses you, they would never have to take an offering ever again. You would be taken care of. I really believe that. It happened in the time of Moses. When the people came and gave willingly to the Lord, Moses said, stop giving, we got too much stuff. When do you hear it on TV? Never. We need your money, please give. You know, they're always asking. Sad. God is not broke. God doesn't need anything. He's rich. We are poor. We need from God to bless us. And so here James wants to paint this picture of the rich. He says, your gold and your silver are corroded. Which means what? Don't put your value on gold and silver. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. When your bank accounts, when all of your investments go down the tube, what's going to happen? People are going to jump out of buildings. They're going to commit suicide. They're going to flip out. Losing millions just like that in an hour. And check this out. And you have heaped up treasures in the last days. Notice they're saving it for the last days. This is a whole thing on the last days, the time that we're living in right now. These are the last days. And check this out, verse 4. He says, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud. There's a key, by fraud. Insurance companies that fraud people, they charge you one price and yet they don't give you full coverage. They do that to the people that are poor. This is what he's talking about. Companies that cheat to make more money for themselves, greater profit. He says, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. What does he say? He says the people that are getting ripped off, when they start going to God and complaining to God, God opens his ears and he makes a note of those people that are ripping off the body of Jesus Christ. He keeps tabs on what's going on. Look for a second at 2 Peter chapter 2. Check this out. 2 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1. Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many who follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. Notice what he's saying there. They're going to use lies from television to radio to whatever to get your money. Check this out. He says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but save Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them in destruction, making them an example to those who, notice afterwards, would live ungodly, and deliver the righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. Notice, and for that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the ungodly under punishment for the day of judgment. And he goes on and on. The whole chapter is speaking against these type of people, the rip-off people. People that steal, people that do not do what's right. And yet James here condemns here the people because the people and their wages were condemned not by God because they were not honest in their dealings in business. Check this out. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mow your fields, which you kept back by fraud, you cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. And again, here is something that happens. People picking up some of these Mexican people at Home Depot, taking them and working your house, but you don't pay them justly. That's wrong. That's wrong. And they could be Asian or black or Mexican. I don't care what they are. As Christians, we're not supposed to do that. The world does that. Cheap labor. Because they're not citizens. Or they don't have a visa. Or they don't have a car. That's sad. But it does happen. So it's really important that our integrity as believers that is kept by being honest and being truthful. If you're going to have somebody come to your house and do work, you know, and if they cheat you, then that's up to the Lord, you know. He'll get them. But if you're hiring them to come and work in your house, then you need to pay fair what's fair. You see, to that person that works. They're not our slaves. They're human beings just like us. And they need to be treated right, like anybody else. This is what God's talking about here. These wicked, rich people that oppress the poor and people they were ripping off, God says, I'm going to get you good. Because their prayers have come up to me. They're complaining to me. And God says, you're not getting away with anything. And then check this out. Verse 5. This is pretty amazing. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You go out to your dinners and you buy this and you buy that. You wear the best clothes. You brag about all that you have. Notice this. You indulge yourselves. You're indulging yourselves in the best of everything. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You know, as they're eating, you know, they have in the Roman time when Nero used to eat, they would have this this table full of food, and then they would have this actual hole, like kind of like a well, where it was a vomiteer. They would go there and they would eat so much, and they would go and vomit, and then they come back and indulge themselves more, and then they go vomit again, and then go eat some more. This is the kind of thing he's talking about here. You fatten your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You know what? It's like you take this little poor piggy, you know, and you put him in there and you're feeding him. And he thinks, oh, that's good. I got a great master. He feeds me every day. And I'm getting fat. Yeah, but you don't understand. You're going into the barbecue in a few weeks. That's what God says. They're fattening themselves for the kill. God says, I'm going to judge you. You think you really haven't made, but you don't haven't made. I'm coming, and I'm going to judge. And then check this out. This is so amazing. Verse 6. You have condemned or pronounced judgment. You have murdered, which means they were not only oppressing, they were committing murder because these people had no rights. They would kill them. Or they would take them to court and put a lawsuit against them when they didn't even have any money. Imagine that. How sad, but this happens. This is what James is talking about here. Today, all the lawsuits that people have to enrich themselves. Oh, I'm going to sue this guy because I fell at his gas station for $1 million. So I don't have to work the rest of my life. That's wrong. That's wrong if you're a Christian. Christians should not sue each other or sue anybody unless you really have to go to court because, you know, you have a right to do that if it's righteously. But for you to enrich yourself or to take something that you've been coveting a long time from somebody else by taking them to court and lying and cheating to get that money or that property, man, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes or anybody's shoes. We have to be honest with God. And this is what he's condemning here. This is the indictment here. He says here, notice this. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. Who's the just? The righteous person. The person that knew God. The person that doesn't lie or cheat or abuse people. He's talking about that type of a person, one that loves God. He does not resist you. Notice that. He does not resist you. Which means what? You're not going to get away with it. If you hurt one of my little ones, Jesus said what? It would be better for you to put a rope around your neck and get a millstone and cast yourself into the Sea of Galilee. That's what he said. He's talking little children about Christians, Christ believers. That's why we really have to be careful. Paul the Apostle in the book of Corinthians talks about lawsuits among Christians that were going on in the city of Corinth. He says it should not be so. It should not be so. Nobody should ever sue anybody unless it's truth. Unless it's truth. And never to enrich myself or to out of vengeance to get somebody else. Because the Lord one day is going to come. And we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to have to give an answer to the Lord for being honest and being truthful, or we've been lying and cheating and we've been doing wickedly. Then God is going to have to judge us. I pray tonight that God will speak to our hearts in a mighty way, that if you're doing something like that, that your heart will change, that you will repent and that you'll do what's right. Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God, to ask you, Jesus, that you would please forgive us for anything that we have done wrong, Lord God. And Father, even in this lesson tonight, Jesus, as we have seen how the rich were oppressing and depressing and enriching themselves by cheating the poor, and by cheating all kinds of other people, Lord God. Father, we pray that you bless those that are righteous and rich, Father, so they can use it more for the kingdom of God. And Lord God, I know many like that, Jesus. I thank you so much for them. And Father, I pray, Lord God, for anyone here tonight, Lord Jesus, that you've been speaking to tonight through the message, Father. Lord, we pray that we would go home totally changed as we repent. Father, we pray those watching over the internet, and Lord God, we pray for the whole world. For everything that's happening in Europe, Father, everything that's happening in Latin America, Father, in Africa, here in the United States and Canada, Father. And Lord God, we ask you that you continue, please, to speak to our hearts. Touch us, Lord. Father, fill us with your love, Jesus. Lord, we repent. We ask you to forgive us, Lord God, for anything that we have done against you, Lord God, or against any person. And Lord God, we ask you that as we continue in the book of James and its conclusion, Lord, that you continue to speak loud and clear to our hearts. Pray for the young people, Father. Pray for the children, for the infants, for the parents, the grandparents, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray for our president, for this nation, Lord God, for this country, Lord, for our military, Father, for all those young men and women, Father, that we love so much, are serving our country, Jesus. Bless them and anoint them, Lord God. And Father, for those that have lost their loved ones, their sons and daughters in combat, Father, we pray, Jesus, for their parents, for their wives, for their children. And Lord God, we ask you that you continue to move in us and to work through our lives in a mighty way, Jesus. Baptize us tonight with your Holy Spirit and your love. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said,